With me. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, in case I'm a new face to you, quick introduction. I am Pete Matthews. I'm the rector at St. Patrick's Anglican in Lexington. I've lived in Kentucky since 1998, so that was 28 years. Still, I've had more life before that, so not quite half my life here, but I'm getting close. So this is home now, originally from Iowa, and I'm married to Trudy. We've been married. The thing in there says 35. That's old. It's 37 now. That was 2 years ago. I have four adult children. Two are married. Much to my wife's chagrin, no grandchildren yet, but you can pray for that. She works in the nursery to compensate, and we're almost empty nesters. Our youngest is working now, but she's still with us, so we're kind of in a great stage of life, and it's just great to be here. It's great to see you all. What a wonderful day to be with the Lord and be with you. Well, my oldest son, when he was a boy, collected baseball cards. Played baseball, collected baseball cards. Still does. In fact, we just moved to a new house, and we had to clean our old garage, and we found a notebook of baseball cards and said, "Do you want these?" He goes, "Sure." And he found like two cards worth like $50. I thought, well, good job. You collected those cards 25 years ago. Now you have something to turn in. But he loved baseball cards. And I remember somewhere, a garage sale maybe, he bought like a box of baseball cards. And he was like 7 or 8. He didn't really know anything about the value of baseball cards. But he was convinced these things were worth like thousands, right? So he was like, "Dad, you know, look at this player." And I know nothing about baseball, but I'm just like, yeah. It's going to be, so I'm going to have so much money. And so we went to the baseball shop, card shop in my neighborhood, and we took it to this guy, and he was really sweet to my son. And he looked at him, he said, "Well, you know, really, these aren't really valuable to me. I'm sorry, but I might buy a couple of them for like 50 cents. And of course, my son, you know, he was like, he had already spent the money, right? He was like, had plans, and he was just downhearted. But it was this great lesson for him about value, right? People value different things. And at that moment, those cards to him were really valuable. They were like the most valuable thing to him. And to the card shop guy, they just weren't that valuable. They're a dime a dozen, you know, to a penny. They're just everyday cards. But that story just reminds me of today's readings. And one of the truths, there's a number of truths always in all scripture readings, but one of the truths that surfaces from them is a truth about value. What's valuable? And it's this: there's nothing more valuable than Jesus. There's nothing. There's nothing more valuable than Jesus. You can see it in all the readings. You can go to the Old Testament reading. Now, it's about Solomon, right? Jesus isn't mentioned there, right? And it's about Solomon being made king. But God appears to him and says, "What do you want?" And you heard it read. He asks for wisdom. Now, if you know ancient kings, there's a standard list of things you'd ask for. "Hey, God, could you kill all my enemies and just wipe them out?" That'd be a standard thing to ask for. "God, could you make me the richest king in the world?" That'd be standard to ask for. God, can I have all these other countries? I want to conquer them and have a big empire. That'd be standard to ask for. I mean, God actually mentioned these things to him. "God, I want to live to be 100 years old so my legacy will be in everyone's memory forever." Doesn't ask for any of those things. He asked for wisdom. Now, wisdom is an important Bible word. It's more than just know-how. It's more than just kind of how to reign well. It's a God-centered idea. It's, "God, I need your wisdom. Because, God, I want to honor you. Because, God, I want to do your will. This is your people. You've called me to reign over them. I want to lead them to follow you." Why? Because, God, you're the most valuable thing. That's why we exist. In other words, there's nothing more valuable than Jesus. And at least at that point in his life, Solomon got it. We learn that he lost that later, but he got it then. Such a lesson. It shows up in the psalm we read, this one phrase: your commandments are more value to me than gold, valuable to me than gold and precious stones. Now here we're thinking about the Old Testament law, which in many ways for the psalmist was the scriptures, the written word of God. And he says, look, this, knowing these commandments, and of course living them, that's a bigger deal to me than money. It's a bigger deal to me than possessions. It's way more valuable. Way more valuable. And of course, the scriptures are where we come to know God. The scriptures are the revealed will of God. They're where we meet Jesus. So of course, the psalmist lived before the time of Jesus, didn't have Jesus in his mind, but trust me, the one behind every word of scripture is Jesus himself. He is the living word. And the psalmist was saying, there's nothing more valuable than your commandments. Nothing more valuable than your word. There's nothing more valuable than Jesus. And then Jesus tells a bunch of parables, a bunch of stories. Wasn't he the greatest storyteller ever? And he knew how to hook people with stories. And he tells just a couple sentences. There was a field, and in the field was a treasure. So the man wanted the treasure. The treasure was so valuable. What did he do? He sold everything so he could buy the field so he could own the treasure. That's Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. And of course, a kingdom is a people with a king. So who's the king of the kingdom of God? You know the answer. That would be Jesus, right? In other words, Jesus himself is saying, in this parable, you need to know something. There are all kinds of valuable things in the world. There are. There are other things that are valuable, and they matter, right? Family, provision, work, all kinds of good things. But there's nothing more valuable than Jesus. There's nothing more valuable than me. If you understand the kingdom of God, what you would see is it would be worth you getting rid of everything, if that's what it took to receive me. It's powerful, isn't it? There is nothing more valuable than Jesus. Nothing. Well, what makes Jesus so valuable? I mean, he's Jesus, he's God. We can check those, right? Those are good doctrine answers. But this passage from Romans 8 paints the picture of why Jesus is so valuable. It's Jesus who gave himself for us. It's Jesus who laid down everything for us first. So I want to say this right. The most valuable thing in Jesus' heart is, of course, the Father, right? But you know what's right next to that? Us. There's nothing more valuable to Jesus than us. And that's what drives our heart to see how valuable Jesus is. Let's go back to the card shop. You know, one of the things that as you grow up, you begin to learn is how you determine what something is worth. And there's really one simple answer. I mean, let's think of economics right now, but I'll put it in different contexts. What makes something like a piece of land more valuable than another one? It's simply this. Who wants it? How bad do you want it? What are you willing to pay for it? If you have a beautiful piece of land and no one wants it, you know how much money you're going to get for it? Zero. It's just the way it works, right? Something is worth what something is willing to pay for. Jesus made a payment. What was his payment? His whole life. For us. Do you understand then? What's most valuable to Jesus? What was he willing to lay his life down for? Me and you. The greatest love ever. The greatest love ever. God is for us, the text says. So, in one sense, who cares if anyone else is against us? If you got that, what else do you need? Right? God is for us. God is with us. God loves us. Jesus gave everything for us. So when he says to us, there's nothing more valuable to you than me, he's not sort of sitting up on his throne and going, look at me, I'm amazing, you need to value me. He says, what you need to know first is there's nothing more valuable to me than you. So come and find how valuable I am for you. That's Jesus' invitation. That's Jesus' invitation. Well, maybe you're a person who's never come to a place in your life where you've really understood that. You've never given yourself over to Jesus in faith and trust and really understood that he's the most valuable thing. You can actually do that today. You can. It's just a simple act of faith. But my guess, every one of us, most of us, or probably every one of us, are like me. I know that's true. I settled that in my heart. But then some days I forget it, right? Some days other things crowd in, like the worries of the world or the concerns of life. And other things, you know, gold is shiny. Gold looks good. Precious stones look good. You know, all these things, and you can get distracted and even deceived. So maybe today you just need to kind of re-up. You know, Jesus, I've forgotten. You are the most valuable thing. I receive that again. Or maybe that's just true of you, and this is a great day to just reaffirm it. That's what coming to this table is all about. We come to this table to receive Jesus. He comes for us, and we give ourselves to him. And so when you come today and you hold your hand out and you imagine the host sitting in your palm and you receive the chalice, I just want to invite you afresh at the altar just to just say again to Jesus, Jesus, you're the most valuable thing to me. Help me live that way. And you are so beautiful and awesome. I just receive your love afresh. Because there is nothing more valuable than Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.